Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
America's largest all-sports radio station presents the number one motorsports show for over two decades, Track Talk, brought to you by Rod In Supply and the PowerEye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Here are the racing boys, Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott.
Good morning, race fans. Welcome to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Deidre Ingram running the show, Ryan Ragland as well running the show for us today. My partner Kirk Elliott for the last 24 years joining me here on the show. Kirk, we need to start off by talking about the passing of Jay Lyle.
Jay Lyle was a big racer in the Kansas City area for a lot of years. Of course, the Lyle family, we've known Chad for a lot of years, and he's a Hall of Fame racer as well. He had a great career when he was competing out on the racetracks, and still does from time to time. But Jay Lyle, his father, won a lot of races in and around the Kansas City over the years, and sadly he's passed away. And we're thinking about the Lyle family. Chad, there's services next week, right, Scott?
Yeah, you've got it written right down there, Kirk. Go ahead.
The Williams Funeral Chapel in Warrensburg will be the site of the visitation that is coming up on Tuesday night. That would be March 12th, 6 to 8 p.m., with the services at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, March 13th. So those are the dates that we'll be celebrating. You know, I was just a number of years ago, Betty, his wife,
right?
She was a big supporter of the Lyle family's racing, and we all remember Betty, who passed away a number of years ago. And that's a great racing family, the Lyle family.
The Lyle family is one of the greatest racing families in this area.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree with that, Kirk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, we're still thinking about our good friend Lloyd Collins, who's battling cancer, has gone through some treatments here over the last week. And Lloyd sent me a note, sent us both a note here a little while ago, and said that 5 hours of radiation to his back and kidney area this past week made him pretty weak. But this coming week, he'll have 3 rounds of radiation to the brain and chemo port put in Friday if all goes well. Hopefully the radiation to the brain shrinks the tumor and he can get his motor skills. He's a left-handed guy, Lloyd.
And he's having a real problem not being able to use his left hand.
So Lloyd gave us that update. I know he's, you know, a lot of friends of the Burnman out there that want to be kept up to date on how Lloyd's doing. And, you know, our prayers are going out to him. And, you know, Scott, Lloyd's he's got a great spirit about him. He is fighting this battle hard, and I wouldn't bet against him. I would not bet against
him. I would not either.
I think he's going to pull through just fine.
Listen, just so you know it, Lloyd Collins is about a hard-headed person as I know.
Well, you're more hard-headed than he is.
No, I'm not. No. Lloyd is definitely more hard-headed than I am.
That's debatable.
No, I don't think so. I think Deidre just chimed in. She said that she thinks I'm
a little harder. Agreeing with me.
No.
Right? No?
She lives with me. She has to deal with it all
knows.
The time.
I said he's in denial.
I'm in denial?
You agree
is
with
that
me,
what you're
Deidre?
Saying?
100%.
I agree with Kirk.
There you go. I knew that. So Lloyd, we're thinking about you. I know he's tuned in this morning, right. And you're a best buddy, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're
going to
get
it.
Him in the studio. We got a lot of stories to tell.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
Get him in the studio.
We'll
here
definitely
soon.
Get him in the studio.
So we'll do that.
Kirk, Cannondale's rained out, right?
World of Outlaws. Yeah, not going to happen this weekend. They first called off Friday night. A couple of days ago, they'd got really sopped by a lot of rain down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area here this past week, and it was thought that if the sun came out yesterday and you know, could really dry things out for Saturday, but 12 hours ago they put a tweet up there on the World of Outlaws site and said that can't happen, so
well,
they're going to look ahead to Cotton Bowl Speedway next weekend.
Kirk, I believe the pits is the problem.
Yeah,
at the racetrack. I was watching some video yesterday, and the pits were just completely drenched. I think they could get the track ready, but I don't think they can get the pits ready.
And you've been to Cannondale Speedway Park. There's not a lot of room in that on that property to park vehicles anyway. So you need to have the entire facility fairly dry in order to stage a big event like that. And it's just they just couldn't make it happen this weekend.
And Lincoln is rained out as well, right?
In Pennsylvania. Both the Pennsylvania speed plants that were expected to race tonight have been called off. Lincoln Speedway and Port Royal Speedway was supposed to have their season opener tonight, but too much rain in Pennsylvania. Not going to allow that to happen. And, of course, Scott, the big event that we were all looking forward to this weekend at Humboldt Speedway has been postponed to April. That is the King of America. That's one of the big crown jewel races for
when is
dirt
that
modified
race,
racing. It'll now be on April 4th through the 6th. And, you know, when they scheduled that early date in March a number of months ago, we all questioned if that was ever going to happen. But then we got really optimistic with the kind of weather we had from late January all the way through February. We're thinking, yeah, that's going to be a great weekend. And wouldn't you know it, it didn't rain for, 6 weeks? And then
all of a
Thursday,
sudden, then it rains.
Came Thursday
right.
It came.
Yeah.
So, and it's colder than we've had over the last several weeks, too. So it was a good call. They made it early in the week. And they'll use that makeup date that they originally had on the schedule, April 4th through 6th, for the King of America. And keep your fingers crossed that Mother Nature will cooperate that weekend.
Yep. Kirk, let's talk a little bit about the ASCS Point Fund. They came out with the announcement that it's going to pay $40,000 to win for the championship. It's going to pay $25,000 for second place. It's going to pay $20,000 for third place, $15,000 for fourth, and fifth place is going to pay $12,000. Sixth place is going to pay $10,000. Ninth place is going to pay $7,000. Eighth place is going to pay $8,000, and ninth place is going to pay $7,000, and then the final spot is going to pay $6,000 for tenth.
Yeah, and this is in the aftermath of the World Racing Group purchasing the American Sprint Car Series from Emmett Hahn, the founder of the series. And I like what I see so far out of the World Racing Group. We had Brian Carter, the CEO of World Racing Group, on Monday's Mostly Motorsports Show. We'll play a portion of that interview coming up here in a little bit about what their vision is for this series moving forward.
Yep, no doubt about it. Can't wait to listen to Brian Carter. He's going to be in our second segment. We're going to play that interview. And also we're going to play Connor Wade, who is the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws as well.
Give us an update. It was prior to Donnie Schatz winning on Monday night. We had him on Monday. The big milestone win for Donnie Schatz on Monday night at Volusia Speedway Park. And I didn't even know that that number was at hand for Donnie Schatz until after it happened. He said, oh, that was Donnie Schatz's 500th career win. And that's not all World of Outlaws wins. That's total number of sprint car wins in his career. And congratulations to Donnie Schatz.
You sure that
500.
You sure that wasn't total with the World of Outlaws?
Total sprint car wins of all of it. Beginning in 1993. So for 31 years, Donnie Schott's been out there winning big-time sprint car races, and he did so on Monday night.
Hey, Kirk, do you think there's a possibility that Donnie Schott's could win the championship this year?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. He's got 10 of them so far. He knows how to do this. I think that he's looking for consistency.
He's currently second in points, only 12 points out of the lead right now.
Well, you know, at the end of last year, he won that race at Lakeside Speedway, and he ran up front. So he's still winning races. I think the big issue with Donnie Schott's with that Ford engine program is getting the kind of consistency that you need to win championships on all different kinds of racetracks. He's good on the big, you know, the Ford engine's been good on the big half miles, the big racetracks.
Right.
It's the smaller track packages that they hope to get worked on, but
they can't get him wound up as much.
Right.
Right.
When we had Donnie Schott's on here a few weeks back, he was pretty confident that the testing they did right after the World Finals last year at Charlotte, they found something in that smaller track program with the Ford that will help them moving forward. So we really don't know until they get on these smaller racetracks. We thought maybe we might get a little bit of a handle on how that was going this weekend at Kennedale, which is a short track, but we'll see what happens at Cotton Bowl this weekend and on these smaller than half-mile racetracks. At Volusia Speedway Park is a big racetrack, and the Ford we knew was going to run well on that type of racetrack. But when they get to the smaller racetracks, how consistent is Donnie Schott's going to be? And if he is, yeah, he's a player for this championship.
Well, from what I was told, Kennedale is kind of like a little bit like Riverside, the ditch.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like that.
What is that,
well,
a quarter mile?
Yeah, quarter mile. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're bummed out that we're not able to see that this weekend. Some other races got rained out, too. The Comp Cam Super Series for Dirt Late Models was supposed to race last night down at Boot Hill Speedway in Louisiana. That got called off. They're still on for tonight. Not much late model racing going on. You know, the late model guys were out there doing it hot and heavy from the middle of January at the Wild West Shootout all the way through Speed Weeks in Florida. And this is a little bit of lull in the action for the next couple of weeks for the dirt late model crowd. They'll be back in action later in the month, but they didn't really have much scheduled this weekend anyway, so we really won't see the late models ramp up here for another couple of weeks.
So,
taking a much needed time off to get there.
Did you say it's totally rained out for the weekend?
Boot Hill is going to try to get it in tonight.
All right.
Last night rained out.
Yep. That's the Comp Cam Dirt Series. It's going to run down at Boot Hill tonight. Hopefully we'll get it in tonight as well.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, last year, Flow Racing carried the live broadcast of the Comp Cam Super Series, but we see now Race On Texas. And I don't think they call themselves Race On Texas anymore, just Race On is doing the live streaming for the
They're not
Comp
called
Cam
Race
Super
On Texas anymore?
Change their name. That's now called Race On.
Race On.
Yeah.
And our good friend Jeff Christensen works for them as well.
He works for a lot of people, doesn't he?
But he mainly works for Race On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Jeff based in San Antonio, Texas, that's
he makes does a lot of their local stuff.
Right. That makes the travel a lot easier for Jeff.
Right.
He can stay close to home. Good for him. NHRA opening up this weekend. The Gator Nationals. This is one of the big events for the NHRA. Is going on at Gainesville, Florida this weekend, and they always draw big crowds for the Gator Nationals, and this weekend no exception. They were able to get in Friday qualifying yesterday. Steve Torrence in Top Fuel, Erica Enders in Pro Stock, and Austin Prock, who is filling in for Robert Height in the John Force Racing Funny Car.
What's going on with Robert?
He's had some kind of health issue that's going to put him out of the seat for a number of weeks. He's coming back. They say he's coming back sometime this year, but at least to start the season, Robert Height's going to be out of the race car, and they put Austin Prock, who had been driving one of John Force's Top Fuel cars, now in the seat of the John Force Racing funny car in place of Robert Height. But Alston Prock set the fastest lap time in qualifying yesterday. And Gage Herrera, who really set the world on fire in Pro Stock Motorcycle last year, picking up where he left off with his championship last season with the top qualifying run in round one of qualifying down at Gainesville yesterday. They'll continue on today in the final eliminations on Sunday.
Steve Torrence, he ran 3:69 with a zero, and he won 333 miles an hour, Kirk.
Yeah.
How about that?
That is fast.
Mm-hmm.
That is fast. Tony Stewart is driving a top fuel dragster. He qualified seventh yesterday. Of course, his wife, Leah Pruitt, is stepping out of the seat of the top fuel dragster this year. They want to start a family. And so Tony has stepped in after doing a great job in the top alcohol dragster last year. He's now top fuel dragster runner.
Kirk, do you think that Tony Stewart will win a NHRA event in the top fuel dragsters this year?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They got good equipment. Leah won in that ride. So, yeah, I think Tony could get it done. Absolutely.
Yep.
Why, you don't think he can?
No, I totally believe he can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Tony Stewart fan, just so you know it. I'm a big fan of Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart ran a 3.73 with a 9, and he ran 327 mile an hour. So he's not too far off the pace.
NASCAR crowd down in Phoenix this weekend. Last weekend at Las Vegas, Kyle Larson won his second straight at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, holding off Tyler Reddick. And, you know, I was interested in hearing Larson's post-race comments about mirror driving. This is something you don't do in sprint car racing, folks. They don't have mirrors in sprint cars.
Right.
So this
he was a little ticked off about the mirror driving?
No, he needed that mirror to win that race to hold off Tyler Reddick.
Tyler Reddick is, I think he's one of the up-and-coming stars in NASCAR. Do you agree with that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's won a number of races already. He made that switch over from Richard Childress Racing to 2311 quite seamlessly from a Chevrolet to a Toyota. And, you know, Tyler Reddick was winning races for RCR, and then he goes over to 2311, and he's winning races over there. He won the fall race at Kansas Speedway last year. He's won at Texas, and he's won some, I think he won a couple of road races, too. He won last year's road race at the Circuit of the Americas. He's won at Road America, so he's won on all different kinds of racetracks. So, and for different teams so far. So Reddick is getting it done.
He manipulated the mirror, and he just took the air off the car in front of him, behind him, that was behind him. Tyler Reddick couldn't get through that dirty air. He just couldn't get through it.
Just because it shows you the talent of Kyle Larson.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he a lesser driver probably got past, because I think you and I both agree that Reddick had the faster race
car. Oh, he definitely had the fastest race car.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So they moved to Phoenix this weekend. They've got qualifying
Larson,
for the Cup cars today.
But Larson kind of dominated that race, didn't he?
He did. He dominated the whole race until
at
the very end. He won both stages, and, you know, Larson had the dominant race car. But I don't think he had the fast race car at the end, as you and I talked about. And Reddick just wasn't able to get around him.
You know, I'm looking down at fifth place finish. Ty Gibbs did a really good job. He ended up running fifth. I think that kid's going to be a star someday.
Only a matter of time before he pulls off that first Cup win.
Oh, yeah.
His whole personality is
I like it.
Different. Wait, you know, and sadly, his dad passed away quite suddenly on the day he won the Xfinity Series Championship at the end of the 2022 season. And he was kind of a hothead right up to that point. And all of last year, in his rookie year in the Cup Series and up to now, he looks like a different person.
Hey, he doesn't need to lose his attitude.
No. Wait.
He needs to keep that attitude, just the way it is, and kind of be that little bit of a hothead, because people know when they race around him that he's not going to put up with a bunch of bull, right?
But at the same time, he's earned a lot of respect out there, which a lot of people question, just the way he went about his business in this last year in the Xfinity Series, that he would be that way. And he got high marks from everybody last year with just the way he went out there and went about his business and earned a lot of respect. So hats off to Ty Gibbs. And he's a talented race car driver. He's not just had the name. He's not just the grandson of Joe Gibbs.
Right. He's kid's very talented. Right.
So he's going to go out there and win races and contend for championships one day.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Track Talk right here. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. We'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Kirk, we had a chance to talk to Brian Carter, the CEO of the World of Outlaws, here just recently on the acquisition of ASCS.
Yeah, I mean, even though the press release came out, we had a lot of questions about, okay, what's their future vision of this series? Is it going to be 360? Is it going to be 410? And we found out it's going to be a combination of both moving forward. But the regional aspect is a big part of that. Let's hear a portion of that interview with the CEO of the World Racing Group, Brian Carter, from earlier this week on Mostly Motorsports.
You know, I'm very passionate about ASCS. You know, I traveled with the American Sprint Car Series for 12 years doing their broadcast, and I am so excited that the World Racing Group has purchased the world of the ASCS. So just kind of fill us in on how that all came about.
Well, you know, it's a great fit for us. I've talked to Emmett several times over the years in different times, and each time a little different conversation. One was about the broadcast, and then one was just about kind of where we ended up this time, and then revisited that again this year. So it's a very important part of the history of sprint car racing, particularly in the middle of the country where I grew up in Texas, and all across the country with the 14 regions. So it's an important part of it. And when you look at our portfolio on the stock car side, we have the whole hierarchy of the racing from the times the kids could come in and race, whether it be in three-quarter mods or mini stocks or what have you, all the way up through to the super late models. And we've been working on that program on the sprint car side for some time now with the support of the Millbridge and the kart racing, and then now with the extreme outlaws with the midgets. But it's a big jump from either of those, you know, mini sprints or midgets up to a 410 outlaw sprint car. So really, this kind of fits in the whole portfolio of trying to figure out how do we create a lifelong relationship with World Racing Group and with and ultimately support the foundation of motorsports across the country. So this one fit in quite well. And, you know, Emmett gave me a call a few weeks ago and said, hey, really, we would like for you to take a look at this again. And you know, those opportunities don't come up that often. And we took a hard look at it and decided that it could benefit from not only our awareness campaign through Dirt Vision, but through our infrastructure organizationally from Dirt Car and our regional programs we already have, and then our support for our weekly tracks through sprint car racing through Dirt Vision. So this came about as a good conversation. You know, Emmett and I have been known each other for a long time, so it was a natural conversation, and he wants to see his legacy and his family's legacy live on and all that work that they've done. So
yeah, no doubt.
It's an important part of sprint car racing.
There's a rumor going around that ASCS could become a 410 series and a 360 series. Can you convey on that a little bit?
Well, you know, we really don't need to insert things in a region that don't make any sense. So obviously there are places where the 360s are strong, and ASCS came about as a 360 series, but candidly, the ASCS already have 410s and 360 series. So
right.
it's not creating something new. It's just expanding upon what they've already started. And in some regions, there's no need for the insertion of a 360 program if there's a strong regional 410 program. So we're really just trying to look to supplement what's there, not create something new or competitive. So we're going to take a look at these hard, but yeah, I really expect the ASCS to become the regional focus for World Racing Group supporting sprint car racing, whether that be 360 or 410. Let's call them sprint cars, and let's get people out to see the racetrack and call them sprint cars and not confuse people. But we all know there's 360s and there's 410s, and the key is figuring out how they each fit and making them work better.
You know, I feel like in my eyes that if it's 360 series, that's a way for people to learn how to travel up and down the road and learn how to become a professional racer. Do you agree with that?
I would go even further. Yes, not only sorry about the ambulance going by here. It's not just the racers you got to train. You know, it's a proving ground for everybody. Hold on, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's a proving ground for everything. I mean, we got to train series people, train marketing people, train competition people. It's a proving grounds for everybody, but for sure for the racers, the idea of stepping up and running from any other program trying to make an outlaw tour is that's kind of almost borderline ridiculous. So, you know, it's a great proving grounds and, provides an alternative, but it also is going to be a proving ground for us too. So we'll have, TV producers and announcers and competition and marketing people that we're going to use this as a proving grounds too. It's going to be a great insertion into the family.
Hey, Brian, this is Kirk. What are the immediate plans for the National Touring Series? I know there's a schedule that was laid out for this year. What are your immediate plans for the National Tour and your vision for the future?
Well, the National Tour, we're going through those day by day right now, and we're going to make sure we're doing things for the right reasons and making sure they make sense. You know, everybody knows that the ASCS is under a little bit of duress here the last year. So you got to be careful about how many plans were made under duress. So we're going to take a look at that. And, there'll be some changes. There's no doubt some things that were on there that may not make any sense, may not make sense for us this time. And just try to piece those together as fast as we can. So we're looking. It's been 3 days and my phone's been ringing off the hook. So just trying to make sure that those make sense. And people are going to have to bear with us a little bit, give us a little grace to trying to know that we're trying to do the right thing for the sport, trying to do the right thing for these racers. And there's going to absolutely will be changes coming. But do I see, long-term vision, there's a place for this. Again, as a proving grounds, I think there's a way to tie in a large national event on a monthly basis, tying in the strength of each of the regions, trying to, there's a great foundation already with the big events they already have. So I'm not looking to change a whole lot. I just want to make sure that these align with the long-term vision, and that's creating destination events for this group of racers that embrace this regional racing and this formal racing. So looking forward to working with Knoxville and the guys at Lucas Oil Stadium at Speedway, and obviously we have a 360 race in Florida, and maybe there's a way to cross over some of the sanctioned bodies there too. So we have huge support in the Northeast with our dirt car racetracks up there. So I think there's a way to really tie this in and make sense and then showcase these cars with the foundation of the regional programs.
As you pointed out, the regional racing has always been a big aspect of the ASCS with a lot of regional touring series. How will all of that play out in the future based on what's already been done with Emmett and the ASCS and the regions? How would you tweak that? How would that change under your direction? I know the regional aspects is very important to you.
Yeah, no, the difference here from a regional perspective is we, on the dirt car side, we manage our own regions in-house. So this will be the first time where we really partner with a regional director, which are already established, and working with them to help them grow their business, because they built a business around this too. There's a bunch of guys that have devoted a significant amount of time and energy to create these. I'm not looking to change those. It's just how do we work with them? And that's going to be a new process for me too. So, and my group to integrate in regional directors that aren't employees of World Racing Group. So it'll be a very much like a sanctioned, like it's almost like a sanctioned track, but at the series level. So we're going to learn a little bit. I'm sure that I can't wait to learn from these guys who have been doing this, and hope that we can each of us take away something and be better off together than we were before.
I believe that Brad Sweet said that he would never do anything to hurt the World of Outlaws, but I look at this scenario with the High Limit Series, and to be honest with you, to me, with the High Limit Series coming in on board, I just think that it's going to fracture 410 racing. Are you concerned about the car counts a little bit?
Well, what's going to happen is, and you're seeing a little bit of it already this year, where there's been a lot of 410 racing, so a lot of choices. And on the periphery of it, you know, in the hardcore sprint car community in those areas, we're going to be just fine. We've got plenty of cars to go around. It's in the periphery where if you've got guys that have already raced seven times, eight times, nine times, they may take a weekend off when they wouldn't normally have. At the same time, you know, on the edges of the season, like March and April, when we're down in places where you can't go run in the middle of the country, you've got to be down in Texas. And so it's going to give guys the opportunity to stay at home because they've already raced so much. So that's where you're going to see the biggest effect is on the edges of the season. You know, in the middle of the country, in the middle of a sprint car country, it's not going to hurt us that bad.
Right.
But, you know, unfortunately, our races, we're still going to have the greatest show on dirt. We're still going to have a great roster of drivers. We're still going to have all of the fan experience that we're looking for. But, you know, we may have to get used to a 29 or 30 car field instead of a 35 or 40 car field. And they're just going to have to get through that until we get, you know, kind of sorts itself out. But you know what? We're still going to have great sprint car racing, and we're still going to have a heck of a show. So,
yeah.
And it's only going to really feel it where we're on the edges of not only sprint car country, but on the edges of the season.
All right. That was Brian Carter, the CEO of the World of Outlaws. Kirk, I'm pretty excited about the World Racing Group purchasing ASCS. How about you?
Yeah, very happy that we got a resolution for the future of the ASCS because of the, you know, legacy that Emmett Hahn and the Hahn family built up of the ASCS. You want to keep that moving forward, and I think it's in good hands right now. So.
You know, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say it out loud real quick. The problem with Terry Maddux is that he didn't have deep enough pockets to be able to pull off the ASCS. That was my opinion of it. And
we like Terry, though.
We love Terry Maddux more than anybody. I'm telling you, he's a great friend of ours. And let me just say this about it. But he just didn't have deep enough pockets, did he, Kirk?
Yeah, it takes a lot of money to have a startup and keep
when,
it going.
When you take over a series like ASCS, you got to have a little money in your pocket.
And, well, the big issue, you know, for many, many years had Lucas Oil as a primary sponsor. That wasn't there last year, so he didn't really have that big-time sponsor to overwrite the point fund money for the season as the ASCS had in years past. So
right.
that was a big issue right there.
Kirk, we seen it the other night. There was only 19 cars at the World of Outlaw race, wasn't there?
Yeah, but I don't think you can read too much into that on a couple of one-off dates with the bike week down at Volusia. It was not part of Speed Weeks. I think last year they had 23 cars for those bike week races, and you know, which is, what, three or four off from what they ended up having. And here's the other thing. A couple of guys left after the Sunday night race got rained out. So I think they would have might have had
21 or 22
cars had they raced on Sunday night. But after Sunday got rained out, a couple of them headed out. So 19 is not all that unexpected for that event. They would have had a lot more cars down at Cannondale this weekend.
Let me ask you, are you a little concerned about the High Limit Series taking away drivers from the World of Outlaws? Are you concerned about that a little bit?
Well, I've always been concerned about that aspect of starting up a second coast-to-coast national touring series is the fans that buy tickets to these races, they need to be satisfied that there's going to be enough race cars in the pits to put on a quality show for what they're paying their money for to buy tickets to see these races. And anything less than 20, in my mind, is not enough. You got to have more than 20, and I think having enough to run a B main is doable. 25 cars is, to me, what you really need to have in the pits to have a
good
high quality,
B main, right?
high profile, whether it's High Limit or World of Outlaws, to keep the fans satisfied.
If we can average somewhere around 25 cars, yeah, that's going to be a good number.
Right. And, right, you know, you're not going to always get that. But
you pay $45, right, for a ticket, you want to see plenty of cars.
You want to see plenty of cars.
Right.
You want to see a B main. And, you know, I think the bare minimum is 20. So if you get that, but anything less than that, people are going to, they're going to get
a little upset.
Going to get a little upset about that.
Yeah.
So that's been my only concern about, you know, having these two high profile competing series out there.
All right. So, we'll just have to see what happens when the World of Outlaws shows up at US 36 and when the High Limit Series shows up out at Lakeside and I-70 Speedway as well.
I'll bet US 36 gets a good amount of cars.
Yeah.
Because the location of where it's at, and, you know, you're into April. Knoxville's not too far away. You've got more 410 race cars at hand than you do down in southern Georgia.
Right.
Or in February or in March, early bike week.
There's plenty of 410 cars around this area.
Right.
Right.
So you're going to get more race cars. But how's it going to coexist with both these series out there as far as car counts? We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Track Talk right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Kirk, we had a chance to talk to Connor Wade, who is the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws as well.
And we'll talk to him on a regular basis on Mondays, mostly motorsports. Now, this was prior to Monday night's racing event, so anything we talked about was leading up to that. But still, a good take on what's going on with the World of Outlaws. Here's our weekly visit with Connor Wade, the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws.
Let me ask you this, and this is a question kind of a little bit off the record, but what is your thoughts about the World Racing Group buying ASCS?
Man, I love it. Whenever I got the news the other day when the press release came out, I was really excited, you know. I don't think it's any secret that 360 Racing the last couple of years, all over the place, really, all over the country, hasn't really reached quite what it's capable of being. And I think World Racing Group has the platform, the resources, the infrastructure, and everything it needs to kind of get 360 Racing back to where it was and build that fan base up again and showcase how talented the drivers that run 360s are. And, you know, how great the racetracks that post 360 racing really are. So I think it's a great move. I'm excited for it. You know, I know there's been some talk of, you know, will it be, you know, is it going to stay all 360s? Will we see maybe some 410 regions or another 410 series? And, you know, I think it's way too early to say for sure exactly what's going to come of it. But, you know, given everything the World Racing Group has touched the last couple of years and how they've grown everything, you know, making the Sprint Car Series was what it's become over the last couple of decades, really getting the late model series in the last 20 years or so, having two successful Extreme Series, even though the Extreme Sprint Cars went away, that had a great year, and now the Extreme Midgets are doing well, even the Super Dirt Car Series and some of the events they promote. I think that it's the perfect combination between WRG and 360 Racing. I think it really will get it. I don't want to say back on the map because it's not fair to say that it's fallen off the map, but kind of build it back up to what it was, you know, during the glory days of ASDS when you had Shane Stewart and Jason Johnson and Wayne Johnson and guys like that. So I'm really excited for what the future holds.
You know, back in the day when I was traveling with the series in the beginning, in the first years of the series, again, as you mentioned, we had Jason Johnson, Shane Stewart, Brady Bacon, Wayne Johnson. We had a group of stars, and I think that's what we need to do is try to get some stars back into 360 Racing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree 100%, and I think there are a lot of talented stars in 360 Racing today. I know Hafer Teep and Blake Kahn have kind of moved on. They do way more 410 stuff than 360s now, but they were there, you know, up until a couple of years ago. But you know, you've still got the Matt Covington and the Scott Baguski and you know, Seth Bergman. Those are really talented race car drivers that I think are only going to benefit from a move like this. You know, we had a 360 show here at Volusia back in January. We've had it 2 years in a row now, the Southern Sprint Car Shootout. And man, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the big names that come running, like the Danny Dietrich that throws a 360 in, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and then, you know, the big names like Austin McCarl and Hafer Teep and even Timms, that, you know, 410 guys that put their 360s in. But man, there's a lot of guys, talented drivers that run 360s all throughout the year that come down to Volusia for that race. You know, like Cam Martin from Iowa was the guy that really impressed me this year for it. Christopher Trom, even Chris Martin, who's a veteran 360 driver from up in Iowa. Drivers like that that, you know, came to the Southern Sprint Car Shootout were really, really impressive to me. They caught my eye. Events like that and, you know, those guys having a bigger platform is only going to make 360 racing better. And like you said, it's only going to bring the stars out of it. So there's a lot of really talented 360 drivers for sure. And that's honestly what makes me so excited about it is now we're going to get to see those guys have the platform that they deserve whenever they can be a part of big events at big racetracks and have a huge streaming audience on Dirt Vision. So it's a positive for them, no doubt.
Hey, Connor, this is Kirk. About 3 weeks ago, you raced at Volusia Speedway Park, had four different winners in four nights. How different are things going to be during bike week at Volusia than what you saw there about 3 weeks ago?
I think a lot of things are going to be pretty close to the same. I mean, this track has raced really, really good. Whether there's been sprint cars, late models, or modifieds on it this year, the track prep crew has just been absolutely incredible. They've had it dialed in. The racing we saw those four nights for the World of Outlaws Knox Energy Drink Sprint Cars back during DCN was just incredible, man. We had last lap passes, you know, good battles for position all throughout the field. We had some charges, and the racing was just really, really good. So I think that's what we're going to see here for tonight, here for the Bike Week Jamboree. We don't have as many cars as we did back for DCN, and, you know, unfortunately this event usually doesn't get as many as DCN, but that just speaks to how big DCN is that we have car counts well into the 40s for that event. So I think eventually you'll see the Bike Week Jamboree kind of get close to that. You know, we're going to have 20 cars or so, maybe a couple more here tonight, but, you know, a really good field as well. Our full-time guys, and then, you know, I'm looking in the pit area now. We got Corey Day here. We got Corey Eliason. So it's going to be a really good show, I think. I think especially after those last couple nights we saw Volusia, back in February with Sunshine's last lap pass on Rico and then a really, really exciting race that saw Sheldon get to victory lane. I don't think anybody's disappointed about coming back and getting another night of racing here at this place.
Yeah, I'll bet Sheldon is really chomping at the bit the way he ran the last time you were there.
Yeah, he is. I talked to him yesterday. He said he spent a week at Disney World in the 3 weeks in between down here in Florida, and then did a lot of resting after that. So, you know, I think I said it the last time I was on your show, but I think a win like that really is what Sheldon needed to get his mojo back. You know, last year we didn't see Sheldon go to victory lane as much as we were used to seeing and really just didn't see the consistency that we all know Sheldon and that 17 team are capable of. So I think a win like that in exciting fashion against some really tough drivers on a good racetrack, especially in the last night of DCN, you know, too. It was big money, $20,000 payday. I think that's what he needed. And, yeah, I really think that just talking to him yesterday, And today, I think Sheldon's, he seems much more relaxed and kind of the confident Sheldon that we got used to seeing for so many years. So I'm excited to see what he has in store here these next couple weeks.
So there's a really good chance that David Gravel, Gio, Tyler Courtney, Rico, I don't think Anthony Macri is going to be running all the races. He won last night at Lincoln Speedway as well. But what do you think the chances of David Gravel, Gio, Tyler Courtney, and maybe even Adonis Schatz winning the championship this year?
Well, Tyler Courtney's running the High Limit Series, so.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be running that full time, right?
And Rico's running over there, too. But David Gravel and Gio right now 1 and 2, Connor.
Yeah, David and Gio are both really, really good. And, you know, somebody asked me if I thought David, you know, cause obviously he leads the points coming into this bike week race after being the DCN champion. Somebody asked me if I thought he was going to lead it the rest of the way, and I said I doubt he leads it the rest of the way, but, man, as good as he and that team are, I mean, it's not out of the question, though I think it is unlikely. But what David and that big game team, with the support of Todd Queering, the last couple of years have done is really impressive. They've kind of gotten to, I think, what they wanted to be whenever they got together, and that is the team to beat on a nightly basis that can win on any given night. You know, not just a team that shows up and has flashes of greatness and can go to victory lane every now and then, but they want to roll in the pit area and have everybody else say, oh, there's the number two hauler. That's the car we've got to beat tonight, or a car we're going to have to beat if we're going to win. So I think they've gotten to that point, and they're going to be really good. And then Gio, I thought had a really, really good start to the year, which was important. You know, he seems like in the past maybe he'll have flashes. You know, he'll have, you know, a couple months where he's really good, and then a couple of months where he's still good, but maybe just not, you know, I don't want to say hit or miss, because I don't even think that's fair to say, but, you know, maybe he has some a streak of, you know, just some bad luck or something like that that prevails him or prevents him from getting into victory lane. But I think we're going to see a much more consistent year out of Gio, not even that he's been inconsistent, just more consistent than in the past. And I think Gio's not going to be a guy anymore that goes to victory lane once or twice a year. I think he's going to probably win 7 or 8 races this year with the Outlaws. So I thought he had a really good start, and it'll be fun to watch those guys. Of course, you've got, you know, Schatz and Macedo and Schuhart there as well that are just as capable of the other two of winning that title.
All right, there you have it. That's Connor Wade. He is the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws, and we are going to have Chase Rodman, the voice of the High Limit Series, on each and every week. So we're going to have Connor Wade on, the pit reporter from the World of Outlaws, and Chase Rodman on weekly, and that's going to be a great combination of having both the High Limit Series and the World of Outlaws on as
yep,
well.
That's right. Hey, you know, just looking down through the results from Monday night with Donnie Schatz won. Landon Crawley, how about the way he started off his rookie season driving for Jason Sides? He qualifies well down at Volusia, and he gets another top 10 finish. So great start for Landon Crawley going for Rookie of the Year. And the other guy I was kind of concerned about in the early season, Scott, was Carson Macedo.
Yep.
They got a couple of new crew guys on that team for Phil Dietz, and they ended up with a pretty good run, a third-place finish. They got to be real encouraged about that.
Yep. How many members did they take on with their new crew?
Well, two new guys.
Two new guys.
They lost two guys off last year's team. I think Clyde Knepp was one of them, wasn't he?
Man, so. That's going to be a great loss to the Clyde Knepp.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been with that team for a long time.
Yeah, you just don't replace a couple of key guys like that and everything
right.
Just goes smoothly. But it's good to see Carson run a lot better. And Sheldon Hodenshield, who we talked about, you picked Donnie Schatz to win.
I did.
On Monday show, I picked Sheldon to win. He finished second. So there you go.
So, I had somebody on Facebook say, good pick, Scott Traylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Congratulations for that.
Yeah. Donnie Schatz picks up the win, his 500th win in a sprint car,
yeah.
Right?
That is unbelievable.
It's crazy. That's a lot of wins.
I have to look back to see how many wins Steve Kinzer had. I've forgotten.
Right.
He had more than that. Steve Kinzer had more than 500.
How many wins does Steve Kinzer have? Do you know?
I just thought about that.
We'll try to look it up before hour number two.
Yeah.
Right?
But Donnie Schatz, a 10-time World of Outlaw champion, and yes, I think he's got a shot at doing it again.
You know, all he's got to do is average around a top five finishes all year long. Because we've seen Brad Sweet do it year in and year out. All he has to do is average about a top five finish.
You'd have to say David Gravel is the favorite to win the championship, would you not?
I would say, yep, no doubt.
So we'll see how it all shakes out.
I'm pulling for Donnie Schatz, though.
With no Brad Sweet on this series this year, it's wide open.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Track Talk here. It's all been brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Want to thank Brian Carter, Connor Wade as well. We want to thank Deidre, Ryan Ragland as well, doing a great job here
today. And Beckett Rasmussen, thank you for all your help.